Tonight is the first of two times together of study on the subject of power as we parallel Tim Keller's devotional, the book of Proverbs, and in particular the kind of power that those who have a level of authority wield. For us in our particular age, it's almost like we trust people until they're in power. Until they're in a leadership role. And then there's kind of an intrinsic reaction that we have where we begin to distrust. And so it's a difficult time, actually, to exercise good leadership, whether it's the leadership that you exercise as a parent in the home, that's kind of out of fashion, or leadership you exercise in local government or national government, leadership in a church. But we want to talk about the Bible's approach to power or leadership. Tonight we'll be looking at power for good. Next time, to be 2 weeks away, praise service next Sunday, power abused and respected. So all the verses we're going to look at tonight will refer to kings, since they are written during the context historically of a monarchy. But the principles of leadership that they teach us would apply to anyone who exercises any level of authority or power. And the reality is that as we grow up, as we have opportunity, we all have levels of influence, we all have levels of power and even of authority, and these principles would apply. So these are the five truths we look at tonight regarding power or good leadership, power for good. Number one, good leadership requires true wisdom. We would expect that. This is the book of Proverbs, right? This is the theme and the necessity of having wisdom. Number two, good leadership investigates the truth. Number three, good leadership opposes evil and rewards good. This is part of what makes leadership so difficult. We exercise it in a fallen world. Number four, good leadership depends on steadfast love. And number five, all leadership, good and bad, is under God's control. And that's how we keep from fretting as we could, as those rise to leadership that are not those that we might choose. So, first off, good leadership requires true wisdom. Wisdom being not merely knowledge, but the ability to apply knowledge to life in a skillful way. So, skillful living. And by definition, you would expect one who's leading others to have a level of skill in life that would make that leadership profitable to other people. Proverbs 8:15-16, by me, kings reign, and this is wisdom personified in Proverbs 8. Sometimes you can't tell whether it's just God speaking or wisdom, but since Proverbs is a book about wisdom from God, the two merge. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule, and nobles, and all who govern justly. So those who exercise leadership in a way that conforms to the definition of right and wrong, that actually does other people good, are doing it by virtue of wisdom. We know from the book of Proverbs that that wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. You know, there's a sense in which, even in our laws in our country, as they were set up with a recognition that both those that are governed and those that do the governing are under authority. They're under the authority of God, that we enjoy rights, inalienable rights, because of the Creator. When we abandon that, both those that govern and those that are governed, then leadership and authority does not work well. The lack of true wisdom from the Lord leads to poor laws and leads to unjust decisions, whereas one who leads recognizing that he's under God's authority leads with greater wisdom. So I may be a dad in the home exercising authority, or a mom authority within the home, and yet if the way I'm looking at life isn't in conformity to the fear of the Lord, I'm not thinking of God's will, and I'm going to view things wrongly. I'm going to carry out things in an unjust sort of way. Good leadership requires true wisdom. So already we're looking at leadership as having a level of submission to authority, the leader himself, if he's going to exercise good leadership. So that leads, secondly, to good leadership investigates the truth. Proverbs 25, 2 and 3, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height, as the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Now, that seems a bit of a riddle, but I think that what the verse is saying is this, that things are not always as they appear to be. The sound bites don't capture reality. The video clips don't necessarily capture reality. You can shape public opinion, public viewpoints with just snippets of truth pieced together in just the right way. Things are not always as they appear to be. A good ruler, a good leader, investigates the facts. He doesn't just take the appearance. Remember when it prophesies that Jesus' leadership, that he doesn't judge according to what he sees. He rather is going to look into what's actually there. A good leader knows how often the matters that he deals with are not evident to the general public and are thus easily misjudged. If you've ever had a role of leadership where you deal with sensitive information, you know that you can't share everything that led to your decision. And so in the public arena, you may be judged very harshly for the decisions that you've made. And yet you may have made exactly the right decision given the evidence. A good leader understands that you're not just making decisions by the tip of the iceberg. You're going to investigate deeply what's going on. And I would just throw this out as a caution. And I think that that's what the second part of this is getting at. It's very easy for us, and particularly in our environment where we vote for our leaders, it's very easy for us to pass judgment about things that we're not well informed about. And to have opinions of people and how well they're leading when we really don't know all that's going on. And it happens really at every level. I think having been in leadership for some time, I find myself kind of withholding judgment more. I might think very strongly about how a president or a governor does things, but I also remind myself that I only know part of what's going on. And one of the difficult things we deal with, isn't it? That the part of our culture, our society that's supposed to give us information has an agenda itself. And so, you know, this has been the era of fake news. And the problem is you don't know always which fake is true and which true is fake. And so, you know, you talk to people and you listen to them talk and it's clear perhaps that they are getting their information from a different information stream than you are. Now, that doesn't prove that they're wrong or that you're right. It just proves that you're getting a different information stream. And this is part of the difficulty, and this is why leaders really have to do the probing of what's actually going on. And that's often difficult to do. It's something we need to pray for our leaders regarding. Number three, good leadership opposes evil and rewards good. This is actually, we're going to see, is a dominant theme of the verses on this topic. And I think it reflects the reality that the whole need for strong leadership is largely based on the fact that we're in a fallen world. If everybody were doing the right thing, you wouldn't have to have law. And you wouldn't have to have punishment and enforcement of law, right? Because we're a fallen race, there has to be a restraint on evil. Because we're a fallen race, there has to be a reward of good. We use the carrot and the stick. We reward our children for doing the right things. We don't have to teach them how to do the wrong things. And so we punish for the wrong things as we try to shape them and lead them. So good leadership opposes evil and rewards good, and that means that it really has to start with the leader's own integrity. He can hardly expect of others what he does not adhere to himself. So Proverbs 16, 10 through 15, we have a description. An oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. So this is a high standard that, quite frankly, few kings meet. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. And so in the ancient times where a king is over everything, he was responsible to see to it that the measurements, the weights and measurements that were used for business were according to a proper scale, okay, and to enforce that. And that ultimately is from the Lord. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Why is that? Because God is the one who sets up authority. Righteous lips are a delight of the king. He loves him who speaks what is right. The king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face, there is life, and his favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. This reminds us of what we find later in Romans, where Paul says he bears not the sword in vain. All the authorities that be are instituted by God, and therefore we show honor to those that are in authority. And again, I would just remind us in our society, this is not the culture of the times to show honor to those in authority. We're a very individualistic society in a country of America, and it's almost like flouting authority is a badge of honor. And yet the scriptures would teach us to honor those that are in authority. It doesn't mean that we don't confront what's evil, but we recognize when you take on a king, when you take on someone in authority, this is not a small thing. It's a difficult sort of thing to do. And it's good for us to see how, for instance, those in the New Testament who lived under an empire and lived under rulers that weren't necessarily righteous, how they dealt with that, how they dealt with the problems of the age. So Proverbs 14:35, a servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, and his wrath falls on those who act shamefully. So he's not just oblivious to who's doing the right thing or the wrong thing. He's going to reward the good. He's going to punish the evil. Proverbs 20:8, he's discerning. A king who sits on the throne of judgment winnows all evil with his eyes. He's like a threshing machine going through, dividing wheat from the chaff. And he does that with people. He has an insight into people. If he's a good leader, he's discerning. And that kind of insight will actually lead to action. Proverbs 20:26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over them. And actually speaking of bringing, in some cases, even capital punishment against those that are evil, he's decisive. Once he's identified who the wicked are, he's going to deal with them. And we have to do the same thing in any level of leadership. One of the hardest things a parent has to do, it's a fun thing to reward when people do well and do right. It's not so fun to have to deal with people when they're doing wrong. And yet a leader is called upon to do this. And just, you know, this is one of the things to remember, you know, as we, can I say it this way, move up in the ranks, as we grow up, it's very easy to wish that we had the power, that we were the leaders. Just remember, it's not fun because we live in a fallen world. You're called upon to do things that you wouldn't choose to have to do, but just have to be done. You have to deal, you have to be discerning, you have to be decisive and deal with those that are wicked as well as rewarding those that are good. Number four, good leadership depends on steadfast love. Proverbs 20:28, steadfast love and faithfulness preserve the king, and by steadfast love, his throne is upheld. This actually is going two directions. The welfare of a people depends on the trust among them that grows from mutual care and commitment. A people that are unified, that are working well together, whether it's a church or a family or a nation, are those that have a commitment to one another, a common cause. A good leader loves his people, and he takes action that shows faithful care for them. He doesn't look at leadership purely as a way to wield power. He looks at leadership as a way to do other people good, to show loyalty to his people, to his family, to his church, to his country. He looks out for others with steadfast love, and this really is a reflection of the very character of God. And at the same time, you'll notice that the king and his throne is upheld and preserved by this steadfast love. It's not just his own steadfast love, it's the steadfast love of his people. A leader depends on trustworthy people around him. You know, a president will have his staff, a governor, any leader in a company has people around him. He works to get people around him that are loyal, that are trustworthy, that will work together. And ultimately, a people that do the same, that exercise loving loyalty toward him and one another. Without a culture of steadfast love, those who have power are the common targets for overthrow and betrayal, even if they're good leaders. This is the history of coups and rebellions and overthrows and revolutions, even of leaders that are good. When for whatever reason there hasn't been preserved a culture of steadfast love where there's a protection that's going on. And so this is the way a whole country functions. A country ultimately falls apart, whether at the high level or throughout the grassroots level, if people are turning on each other rather than pulling together in common cause. And this is why a lot of times you'll find when a country is threatened from the outside, the country bands together. And you forget the smaller things that divide you in order to work on a larger problem. And this happens, you know, in a church family. When our eyes get off the mission, when we lose perspective on what's really important, we can tear ourselves apart with things that actually aren't. Good leadership depends on steadfast love, as do the entire people. And then finally, all leadership is under God's control. And this is really important for us because we do live in a fallen world. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. You know, as you read the biblical account of human history, so the history that you know is not fake news. The history that you know is reliable. I mean, you read through chapter after chapter of mayhem and evil kings as well as good kings, of all kinds of things that happen where things seem out of control. And yet, God wants us to know that ultimately behind it, he is working his will. He is the King of Kings. He is the one in charge, not just of good leaders like a David, but bad ones too. He turns the hearts of those who lead, not only in terms of turning their hearts to repentance, such as he did with Nebuchadnezzar, who was literally at the top of the world, what was king of the greatest empire, and proud of his accomplishments and successful beyond imagination. God knew how to humble him and turn his heart to where he brings praise to God. It's an amazing sort of thing. God knew how to plant right within his most trusted advisors a man whose judge was the God of the universe, Daniel, and had profound impact on him. But those aren't the only people that God directs. God takes renegade kings and horrible people and takes their counsels and their actions, even leaders persistent in wickedness, so that what they do ends up actually furthering his purposes and his plans. You remember how he did that when David was driven from his throne, and how God frustrated the counsel of Ahithophel and turned it on its head, and how God shut down the rebellion of Absalom, despite the fact that he seemed to have everything going in his favor. God knows how to do all of that. And we see this even in the early days of the church, Acts 4, 27 to 28. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So here you have the worst miscarriage of justice ever, the crucifixion of the only perfect human being that ever walked the planet, the God-man Jesus. And it looks like evil has won. And yet the reality is that evil was only a pawn in God's hand to accomplish the redemption of the race. God was able to turn that. In fact, Jesus says to Pilate, when Pilate is questioning him about his kingdom, Jesus says, you wouldn't have the power over me at all if you hadn't been given it from above. And that's where my kingdom is. And so while Pilate is passing judgment on Jesus, God is in control of Pilate and holds Pilate's very life breath in his hands. And I think it's so important for us as we look at those in leadership. I think when people that we don't like get in leadership, people that we consider dangerous get in leadership, people that we feel like are not strong leaders are in leadership, it's important for us to remember who ultimately puts them there and takes them down, and how God doesn't need a righteous man to get righteous things done. He's perfectly capable of dealing with whatever he has to deal with because he is the ultimate leader, the one with the absolute power who is not corrupt. So good leadership requires true wisdom. If you're in a role of leadership, if you exercise power, pray that God would grant you wisdom, that you would see beyond the tip of the iceberg down deeply. Good leadership investigates the truth, wants to know what's actually going on. A good leader is asking questions, not like a district attorney to prove a point. A good leader asks questions to learn what's actually going on. And good leadership opposes evil and rewards the good. Make sure those that do well are being rewarded if you have an ability to do that. And those that do evil are being confronted. And then good leadership does depend on steadfast love. Pray for your leaders. Pray that God will grant you as a leader to exercise faithful, loyal love to the people that you lead and not be in it for yourself. And then number five, ultimately we give all this to God because all leadership is under God's control. And we serve him. He is king of everything. And that gives us confidence, even in a fallen world, that all will be well. Power for good ultimately is power from God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for letting us participate. You have made man a little lower than the angels, and Jesus is the ultimate God-man leader, the one that fulfills the creation mandate. And yet, Lord, you have given us responsibility to manage the earth, to exercise leadership, to use resources well. You have set up the family structure and government structures in ways that call for wise leadership, good leadership. We pray that you would grant that to us. We thank you, Lord, for leaders you have given to us in the home, in the church, in our country, who have proven themselves to be good leaders. We pray for them. We think of just recently with elections that have been held and those that will be entering into arenas that are very difficult, not only because there is a mixture of good and evil and what they have to deal with, but we know that the more power is being exercised, the more demonic influence there is, as Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the one who energizes the children of disobedience, seeks to exercise control and use human leaders to accomplish his purposes. We pray that you would thwart his efforts and that you would rule. And we pray especially for those who know you as Savior, who are in places of leadership, that you would make them wise, that you would protect them from the evil one, that you would protect them from their own foolishness, and may they operate according to your wisdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.